We believe that adolescents and youth are central to the future development agenda. In fact, the youth agenda has never been more important now than ever before, with the largest generation of young people in the world that we've ever known, 1.8 to 2 billion young people between the ages of 10 and 24. And these account for 28% of the population in 2010, 27% in Asia, and more than 31% in Africa. This proportion will remain above 20% in all regions except Europe until 2035, and above 30% in Africa. How we meet the needs and aspirations of these young people will define the world's future, not only because of their numbers, but because of their aspirations and their needs. A decline in fertility after their births means they need to be self-supporting, since there will not be a larger, younger cohort to support them. And given the life expectancy that we see now, they will live longer lives. And so basically, we would have to ensure that we equip them appropriately to be able to sustain themselves. So, and in the world, beyond Africa and South Asia, we also need to begin to think about how we're going to support a larger population of older people. And the young and the adolescents are going to be key in providing that. Now, majority of them today are growing up in poor countries where education, health systems are weak, reproductive choices are not guaranteed, good jobs are hard to find, and where mobility may be constrained. I mean, most of you have noticed how people have been moving around, some of them forcing themselves across the strait between Morocco and Italy. And the information age has increased their awareness about their human rights and given them a broader vision of what their lives could be. So expectations are high. The fundamental questions many countries and indeed the world faces is to ensure that young people have what they need to fulfill their potential, safeguarding their rights and investing in their future by providing quality education, including comprehensive sexuality education, effective livelihood skills, decent employment, entrepreneurship, access to health services, especially sexual and reproductive services, and access to credit is essential to their development and their families, communities, and countries. And this requires very critical investments and decisions by member states in order for them to allow these young people build their space effectively. Let me start with education. Primary school enrollment have reached 90% across the world. This is unquestionably an enormous success, especially for the MDGs on education. This, we believe, is good, but it's not enough. What we find is that nearly one quarter or one in four primary school-aged children in sub-Saharan Africa is out of school. Girls have been the main beneficiaries of the trend towards higher gross enrollment ratios, but still generally lag behind boys in completion. Moreover, it is abundantly clear that in today's economies, primary education isn't enough to equip young people with the skills for employment. And although countries around the world are making progress, gains in secondary education have not been as rapid as those of primary levels. Among the 187 countries we have data about one in four has gross enrollment ratios of 98% or more, approaching universal secondary enrollment. However, in 43%, enrollment is less than 80%. I visited a country the other day in Africa where 92% of the girls go to school, primary education to completion, but only 3% of them go into secondary education. So there is a large deficit there which we have to look after. So access to secondary education remains a challenge for girls, and we know that that disadvantage and that challenge is because they get married off at 11 and 12, and they disappear from the statistics. So that's something we need to address and we need to take forth. Now, when we talk about their sexual reproductive health and rights, we have to address that frontally, because if they're going to stay in school, delay childbearing, enter the labor force, and achieve what we want them to achieve, they would have to have access to information and services to be able to determine when they want children, how many they want, if they want to get married or not married. And I think, especially for girls, that's something which we need to confront. It's a difficult thing to talk about, but it is the right thing to do. And we've been talking about it, and we have to get governments to see the reality of this. Now, more than 2 million adolescents between the age of 10 and 15 are living with HIV. About 1 in 7 of the new HIV infection occur in adolescents. In fact, the new spike of HIV infection in the world occur more in adolescent girls than any other group. So, despite near universal commitments to bring this to zero, we have a problem there. And I talked about earlier and forced marriage, even though every country that I know almost have signed on to the declaration on the rights of the child, and also accepting that 18 should be the age of marriage, it doesn't work that way. People just give their girls up, and it ends their education. It actually puts them at risk. We know for sure that's what is causing some of the high levels of maternal mortality in parts of Africa and South Asia. And we must begin to talk about this, because if we can, and as a collective, ensure that we take girls and we put them in school and ensure they stay in school and make sure that they graduate and go through secondary school, we would actually achieve so many things at the same time from both a health and an economic perspective. We have a program in the Niger Republic, which we call the Husband School, where we gather men in a community and actually talk to them about the need to allow girls to go through school. We've seen a great improvement in those communities in terms of them staying in school and finishing school in their agency as girls. And also we found that maternal mortality rates have dropped, child mortality rates have dropped, and family planning uptake is also gone up in those places. So I think that we know what to do, but we have to scale up, and we need to have everybody on board to be able to do this. We're doing something with the World Bank now, $250 million as UNFPA and our partners, to work in the Sahel. And that it takes Niger, Chad, and the others, Burkina Faso, and we believe that we can do it. And it just means that we have to work on the ground and work with many of the gatekeepers on the ground to make this happen. Now, I want to specifically speak to a couple of things, because I think we cannot go forward except we talk about it. I mentioned it when we talked education, and it's about comprehensive sexuality education. There is a big pushback on CSE, but we can't achieve what we're talking about if girls and boys are going to be able to go forward to make choices in their lives. They have to be informed about those choices. And CSE is such an important part of this. And I think beyond that, I talked about information services and commodities to enable us to do that. So we believe that going forward, if the world is going to ensure that it takes advantage of this large population of young people, and I try to conceptualize it and to bring it to a sharp focus by saying that of the 2 billion, 600 million are young adolescent girls, 600 million. Can you imagine if we can make sure that all the 600 million go to school, stay in school, finish school, are able to make choices in their lives in terms of what they would do in terms of a job, what they would do in terms of getting married or not getting married, political participation, skills development, entrepreneurship training. We will transform the world. So whatever we're doing with the Sustainable Development Goals now, what is required is to actually ensure that it is all connected with people's management and building the capacity of people to be able to handle it and work it. Adolescents are the future. They are the ones who would own that space. And the girls are the ones who would actually make the difference going forward. And I believe that we should shout it on all rooftops, make sure that everybody accepts and that we insist that what is going on in New York now actually converges on this. I thank you.